one year, I went from unemployed making videos in my family room to becoming a top 40 under 40 honoree, gaining hundreds of thousands of views. And I'm just getting started. It's time for the second annual Walsh Wednesday Fun Drive. It's Connor coming at you once again, and what better day to launch the second annual Fun Drive than to do it on National Connor's Day. Seriously, that's a thing, not some April Fool's prank. Guys, 2025 was such a transformative year here at Walsh Wednesday, and I'm so excited to see what 2026 has to offer. Over the span of the last 60 plus episodes, not only have we gotten to speak with local leaders and creators, but we worked with platinum-selling artists, Broadway veterans, Hollywood actors, banana ball players, and even Olympians. Because of the hard work from this past year, Walsh Wednesday is once again nominated for Best Podcast, part of Hudson Valley Magazine's Best of Hudson Valley. None of this would be possible without you, so thank you. You can help Walsh Wednesday continue to grow by donating to our GoFundMe and by voting for Walsh Wednesday for Best Podcast. Both links can be found in the description of this episode. And if you don't have the funds to donate at this time, that's fine. I totally get it. Just sharing alone goes such a long way. We got some really cool plans for 2026. As you've seen, we've recently launched our trivia spinoff, Walsh Whiteboards, which honestly has been a blast to film. Not just that, we're hoping to go on the road more often to show you incredible sights, stories, exhibits, and more that can't be captured in the studio. From the bottom of my heart, I greatly appreciate you for believing in what Walsh Wednesday is and what it will become. The second annual Walsh Wednesday Fun Drive and the Best of Hudson Valley voting will end on April 30th. That being said, Connor Walsh signing off for Walsh Wednesday on National Connor's Day. And as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by MHA of Dutchess County, Foam and Wash Car Wash, Juniors 2, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Dayrock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Filming Kleiman Collins and Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation. Let's stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday.
And I've been busy for the last 4 days. I've been at war with squirrels in my attic, trying to get them out before it turns into a real problem. I have a speaker up there playing Sepultura and Lamb of God at 130 decibels, and then alternating that with an autobiography of Winston Churchill that plays for like 2 hours. And I have to post up outside the little hole where they're coming and going, right? And so when they come out, then I jump up there and I close it. I have a cardboard cutout of Michael Bublé that works really well as a scarecrow to keep them from going back in if I have to leave my post for a minute. It's like a whole thing.
Why Michael Bublé?
Well, because my daughter loves him, and I got a cutout of him for Christmas, and he just happened to be still here.
You have another business if you ever need one, you know, squirrel remover, squirrel whisperer. And please bring the Michael Bublé cutout on tour. I want to put that right center stage, pay homage to the Booble.
We should, the booster.
You guys should just like mess around with everybody and be like, we got a special guest tonight, Michael Bublé. And some roadie brings out the cardboard cutout and everybody's just laughing their ass off.
It turns out he's really funny too. Cause like I had this whole bit going with my daughter because she prefers his Christmas album to mine. And so he chimed in on it. My daughter was like, just crushing me with this whole Bublé thing. And then he chimed in the comments and said something really nice about me. And I was like, you see? And anyway, it was like, it was like the greatest alley-oop all the way from Canada. Michael Bublé stuck up for me. And so I feel like forever indebted to the man. The thing is, he might show up.
That would be amazing. Actually, the guy carrying the cutout is actually Michael Bublé.
Oh my God. Like, you know what? Let's just manifest that into reality.
I'm feeling it. Let's make it a thing. Hey there, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and we got a magnificent episode for you guys today. Making his return to Walsh Wednesday, we have a platinum-selling artist known for songs like Superman, It's Not Easy, and 100 Years. We have with us John Ondrasik from Five for Fighting. Not just that, we have his touring partner from this coming summer. They're going to be going on tour this June. We have another platinum-selling artist known for songs like I'll Be and I Could Not Ask for More. We have Edwin McCain. John, Edwin, how are you guys?
Good, bud. Good to see
you.
You're
good.
And of course, you guys are going to be going on tour this summer. It's going to be incredible. So the shows start in June, so people can learn more on the website, of course. But let's hear it from you guys. Have you guys ever toured together before? Is this your first time working together, or is this a long legacy of working together?
I think we were on like the same festival bill a few times, but we've never like gone on a dedicated tour, which is really kind of silly. I don't know why we never did.
We have a lot of common friends, and we've passed in the night many times, and including Kevin Cronin from REO Speedwagon, who's my neighbor,
Fantastic.
who I'll be having dinner with tomorrow night. He says hi, Edwin.
Yeah, and it's like one degree of separation. We basically have so many of the same friends, and we play. We probably were within a few spots of each other on every hot AC playlist at one time. You know what I mean? Like we were literally like within minutes of each other every day. So this makes total sense to me.
I'm pretty sure I have heard "I'll be" right after Superman, It's Not Easy. I'm pretty sure that has happened many a time listening to the radio.
Surely.
I mean, "I'll be," I mean, what a song. You know, there's songs that come around that you're like, dang, I wish I wrote that song, right? You know, "I'll be" is one of those songs where you're like, what a monster chorus, you know, and you hear it and, you know, they just stand the test of time, right? You know, I don't want to speak for Edwin, but I think, you know, for us to still be here 25, 30 years later, going out, you know, Edwin's driving his bus like he always has and people singing our songs back to us. It's such a blessing. And, you know, when you're with good people, that's really makes what touring a lot of fun. You know, when you're with good people and everybody's enjoying it, we understand why we're there, what we're doing. There's really nothing better. It's adult summer rock star camp, man.
It really is. I mean, we also benefited wildly from being in that. I say we were the last class of the big time music business. You know what I mean? When they were still selling CDs and it was about radio promo. We were still working for the old cigar chomper guys that were running those companies. And they didn't really know why things worked or not. They just were glad it did. And they let us do our thing. And they didn't, you know, they didn't really have any notes. Like, you know what I mean? Like I was never told, I think I was ever told to do was like get a haircut and wear a suit. But other than that, like as far as like musically, I mean, we would turn in these records that were just all over the place and they would be like, all right, you know.
Amazing. And they worked. Yeah. And thank God, because we got great hits like the songs that we were talking about. No, fantastic. Yeah. You know, since we're talking about those songs, I do got a couple of questions. Edwin, I'll start with you when it comes to "I'll Be." You know, something that made recent news, James Vanderbeek unfortunately passed away back in February. And one of the things that you guys share is Dawson's Creek. You guys owe a lot to both of your careers to that show. And can you take us back to 1998 and what it was like to have "I'll Be" featured in the season finale of that show and what that did for your career and how that kind of transcended above anything you could have imagined?
That show lit the fuse and exploded it into space. Can't really script that kind of luck, honestly. And it was, you know, all credit to the sync people at Atlantic for saying, hey, let's get this song in Dawson's Creek. Because I didn't, you know, at the time I was playing 220 shows a year. So I didn't watch television. So I didn't even know about the show. And so somebody at Atlantic was like, this is going to work perfectly for that show. And they called up the sync people and got it done. And so all credit goes to them. That was one of the great things about being on a major label, because there were people in offices doing hard work, getting your songs put in places that would let them explode like that. So, man, one in a million, really.
But you know what? It's incredible. And, hey, it got your song out there and grateful for it. Now, John, we were talking about Superman, It's Not Easy a second ago. That song came out a couple years later, of course, but you are still making new things with that song. The last time that we had you on, we were talking about Superman, It's Not Easy for Alon and the Hostages. The last time we talked, there was a lot that was still going on over there. But now, since then, Alon is home. Can you talk about that and that experience and the feelings that you must have from it?
Yeah, no, it's amazing how songs kind of refine their places and for a new generation find new listeners and new meanings. And no, when we recorded that song for Alone and the Hostages, you know, his mother Adit was kind of my partner in that effort. And I think as much as we, you know, prayed and hoped for Alone and them to come home, I think we thought it was very unlikely, right, with what had happened over there. But you're right, the miracle happened. And just a few weeks ago, I actually got to sit down with Alone at a piano and play Superman together, which again, you can imagine how emotional that was. And the kid, you know, he's incredibly strong and gives you a lot of faith and, you know, makes you believe in higher things. And so it's wonderful to have him home and playing concerts. I just saw a video of him today. You know, it's Passover for all our Jewish friends. Happy Passover to our Jewish friends. And it just gives me this burst of joy every time I see him, and he's going to have a nice life. And I met his girlfriend and And as I said, he's a much better piano player than I am. And maybe if he's in town, if he's in the States, maybe he can come join me and Edwin on a song. But yeah, it's again, that's the blessing we have of having these songs that seem to keep finding their way. And once you write a song and release it, as Edwin said, it's not really yours anymore. It goes out into the world and Dawson Creek happens or Smallville happens or,
Yes.
and I think to his point too, the music industry was different back then. We caught the last wave and we had kind of resources that people don't have now. And you had TV shows that 15 million people watched every night. You had radio stations that would take chances on songs. They weren't all consolidated into two or three people deciding what's on the radio for America. So I think that also helped us a lot, where you had radio programmers who were willing to take swings on new artists. And I think the artists these days, now of course they have the internet and much other things, but it's a much different game. And I think that reality is one reason why we're still doing it. We truly caught the last wave, and what a wave it was.
Yeah, what a wave it was for sure. And yeah, John, I remember when you had your music on Smallville. I was watching it from season one onward. So I remember all that. Edwin, I'm sorry, I wasn't a Dawson's Creek fan. I didn't learn about that until later, but.
Hey, that way, it wasn't really for you. I mean, it was really more for the teen, the teens and tweens,
Yeah.
back then.
So when it comes to shows, that was the shows back then. There's a lot of shows now that you can promote your music on. Edwin, you might know where I'm going with this. Can people expect to see the Nessie costume show up?
Oh, I wish they would let me have it, but they don't let you keep your costume. Like that was like such an in that was the most unique experience I've had yet in the entertainment industry. I genuinely regretted being sober. I really hallucinated. Like a handful of mushrooms in that costume would have been interesting, honestly.
For anybody who has no idea what we're talking about, around this time last year, you were on The Masked Singer and you were the Nessie costume, the Loch Ness Monster, and fantastic clip, fantastic run on the show. I thought it was great. Like, did you get to pick your costume? Did you get to pick your songs? What was that like from your perspective?
It's such a well-run organization. I did not pick the costume. They would give me four songs to choose from, and then I would say, I really like this one. They go, well, what about this one? And I go, okay, I understand. And so some of them I picked out of the one choices they gave me, and some of them I did because I thought it would be better. And was and for me I'm kind of a stunt singer anyway. I love singing different genre music or music I wouldn't normally sing or, plus it's such an interesting moment to be involved in a production as big as that. I mean, it's a big production. There's hundreds of people working on it. And it was an absolute exercise in efficiency. Like what they were able to pull off every day was amazing.
I can only imagine how awesome it is to be there. It just seems like a giant cartoon, honestly. It seems like a cartoon brought to life.
And everybody without exception were extremely nice and really funny, and it made the entire experience enjoyable. Like I didn't see or hear anybody having a crossword or being stressed out. I mean, it was just everybody was focused on the task at hand, and everybody got along famously, and it was a great time.
That's beautiful. You know what? Something, since you weren't able to keep the costume, I'm going to challenge fans out there right now. If anybody is good at cosplaying, put together a Nessie cosplay for Edwin and gift it to him on tour. I'm putting that out there right now. Just like Michael Bublé, how we're manifesting that, we're manifesting the Nessie.
I think at some point when the show reaches its end run, they'll hopefully let me buy it.
And pause. We're going to take a quick break from our interviews to hear from our sponsors. First up, we got our friend Andrew O'Grady from MHA of Dutchess County.
When we talk about mental health, we often focus on the symptoms, anxiety, depression, isolation. But what we don't talk about nearly enough is the root cause. And more often than not, that root cause is trauma. This is Andrew O'Grady, CEO at Mental Health America of Dutchess County. Trauma doesn't always look dramatic. Sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes it's an experience you've carried alone for years. Sometimes you've never spoken about it because it feels shameful or because you were told to just move on. But here's the truth. Holding a painful secret doesn't protect you. It weighs on you. It shapes how you think, how you feel, and how you move through the world. It can impact relationships and jobs, the way you attach to people and interpersonal friendships and work relationships, and you don't have to keep carrying that weight by yourself. Healing is possible when you finally feel safe enough to talk about it. Contact a therapist today. If you need help with that process, contact your primary care physician or call MHA of Dutchess County. We're happy to help you find someone. It's time to take care of yourself. You just may have the best year of your life.
For 60 years, we here at Foam and Wash Car Wash pride ourselves on giving back to the community because we're your neighbors. It's our community too. In celebration of Foam and Wash's 60th anniversary, we want to say thank you. By visiting the link on screen and in the description, you'll receive one free hot wax and shine car wash. No hassles, no gimmicks, just a token of our appreciation. Foam and Wash Car Wash, home of the Unlimited Wash membership. Thank you for being part of Foam and Wash Car Wash's story for the last 60 years.
This episode is also sponsored by Juniors 2. Come on out to Juniors 2 in Poughkeepsie, New York for Thursday Night Trivia, hosted by CMJW Entertainment. Play as a team as you work your way through four rounds of trivia categories in order to win gift certificates and other prizes. Juniors 2 Trivia Nights, every Thursday starting at 7 p.m. at 1126 Dutchess Turnpike, Poughkeepsie.
Next, we have a message from our friend Jeff Feldman from Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, attorneys at law.
Hi, I'm Jeff Feldman. In 1986, when Paul Kleiman and I started our practice, our goal was to create a law firm where you could meet with an attorney and feel confident that that attorney would be with you every step of the way. Today, the firm has been successfully trying cases at all levels of state and federal courts throughout the Hudson Valley and Capital District. We have been selected as one of the best personal injury and medical malpractice defense law firms by U.S. News and World Report every year since 2009. For all of those years, we were the only firm chosen in any litigation specialty between Albany and White Plains. Your case is important to us. Giving you the time and personal attention you deserve has always been the hallmark of success. Initial consultations are free of charge and always with an attorney.
Walsh Wednesday wants to give a big thank you to Prime Storage. A temporary storage unit can help declutter a home, protect fragile items during a busy period, and provide a convenient way to organize and transition belongings. Whatever the reason, Prime Storage makes storage simple through seamless service, flexible rental options, and facilities conveniently located throughout the United States and Canada. By using our link in the description of this episode, you will get one free month of storage, plus you'll save 15% on rental rates. Make the holiday season simpler and store with Prime Storage. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. Thanks for listening, guys. It's time to get back to the show. And play. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by MHA of Dutchess County, Foam and Wash Car Wash, Juniors 2, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Locks That Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Sape, LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation. Now, John, I want to pass it back over to you. Something that happened with you and not just you, your family. People magazine back in March put out a lovely piece on your wife, Carla. And if I have it correctly, it is I signed the rock star, then I married him. Beautiful piece. Do you want to talk about that and what that was like for you, your wife, your family to be able to share that story?
Well, thank you. Yeah, you've done a deep dive there, buddy. Yeah, my wife, Carla, wrote a book called, well, since I'm sitting here, stop trying. Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
You know, she's a fascinating story herself. You know, she came to LA 18 years old with her suitcase and kind of built her way up to one of the most powerful executives in the music industry. And she actually was at Motown one day pitching songs, and she heard me through the wall. My girlfriend was a secretary at Motown and would play my cassettes. And sometimes she came to a little piano bar in Melrose, and I was sitting there, and there were four people in there, and I paid two of them to be there. But she sat through it, and we started working together. She had no romantic interest in me at all, of course, but I was smitten right away. And 2 years later, she saw the light, and this September will be married 29 years. But yeah, her whole philosophy about, when you're kind of on your own, especially the music industry, there's no trying. You do it, you survive. And she's a fighter, a wonderful mother to our kids. And so that article, they asked her to write kind of our story about the book. And again, she signed artists, like Korn and Jewel and, No Doubt, just huge artists. And when my son Johnny was born, she had took on a harder job. She left the music industry, became a full-time mom. So it was really sweet to see that article and that story. And for me as a touring, musician, it was wonderful to have that kind of grounded home, right? And that grounded kind of family. As Edwin knows, it can be a little wild on the road. And the fact that, we were married before I had success, and that she understood the obligations that we have sometimes being away from home, doing hundreds of shows with kids and a family, it's very challenging. And to have a spouse that understands, maybe doesn't like it all the time, but understands, there's certain obligations you got to go to promote your records and do this stuff. So it's been a great ride with her, and it's fun to see her in the spotlight now. I'm the
Yeah.
guy behind the scenes, and to see her kind of in the spotlight doing all the television and press is great. But thank you for recognizing that. And she'll still be out on the road with us, and she'll be hanging out. And I'm hoping Edwin's daughter comes out as well. He mentioned she might come along. So we love to bring the family out as much as we can.
Kind of touching upon what Edwin was saying before, how certain things, you put it out into the ether and it's a one in a million shot and you never know where it's going to go. You had that with your love story, honestly, or at least that's the way it seems.
The best thing that come to me out of my whole pursuit for this music thing is Carla and what we have. And again, it's like when you do this, and Edwin can speak to it too. It's your family kind of is your support, your therapist, your inspiration, all this stuff, right? And it's nice that now the kids are old enough to where they can come out and hang out with us. They have their lives, of course, but no, certainly very blessed. And as I said, it's fun to have someone to ride the roller coaster with you, because it then the highs aren't so high and the lows aren't so low.
It evens you out. Absolutely. Edwin, I want to pass it over to you again because you were talking about your daughter earlier, and John said that she might be coming out on the road with you and all that. What does that feel like to be able to have your kids there with you, your family, to experience this? Because, at this point, they've probably seen, as John was saying, the highs and lows of the roller coaster throughout your career. What's that like to have your family involved?
It's great. It's funny, my kids, they didn't really see a whole lot of what I was doing. I mean, they obviously saw me play gigs here and there, but my middle son, he was probably fourth grade, and they were doing "What Does Your Father Do" at school one day, and Ben told his classmates that I run a forklift at a warehouse, which is technically true because we have a forklift at our warehouse, and he had seen me do that a lot. And so in his mind, that was my job, because there's no way playing music was a job, right? And so that's always kind of been their thing. Like they come, and obviously they just grown up around it, so they're sort of unaffected by it all. But my daughter Taylor's got a real good hang, so she's really funny. So she fits in with the band culture like right away. Like she immediately made friends with all the guys from Collective Soul and Hootie, and so I didn't have a And they love having her around, so she was out there with me. But my other two sons, they don't really dig it that much, so it'll probably just be her.
I'm blown away. If I was the kid of a rock star, I'd be out there immediately checking everything out. I'd want to see it all. But maybe that's just because my dad raised me on the music education that I had and took me all to all the amazing concerts and all everybody's music. John's music. I haven't seen you in concert yet, Edwin, but I hope to soon.
Well, I think like one of my very good friends is an attorney here in South Carolina, and he represents Kodak Black. And my kids were way more impressed with the fact that Mr. Ashmore, wait, Mr. Ashmore represents Kodak Black. Like I've never seen them react like that before. And it's so funny the things that they care about.
To them, you're just dad.
It's always, I'd rather be, honestly.
As we're getting to the last couple minutes of this episode, I know you guys have to go and everything. There are two last questions I want to ask you guys. Pass it back over to John. One thing that we've talked about the last couple times that you've been on is the Let Music Fill My World challenge and everything going on with that. It's about that time of year again. Could you give us an update on what we can expect for this year?
Yeah, the Music Matters Challenge is out again. It's basically a challenge that people can go on, make a video, and tell a story about a music teacher that made a difference in their life. And through that, we provide a music teacher to a school in need every year. And so you don't have to be a great musician. You can also win $10,000. Our winner wins $10,000. So there's that. There's a school prize. So just go to themusicfilmoutworld.com and enter. And you don't have to be a great musician or not. You know, as long as you, you know, have a story and a song, frankly, you have a good chance to win. So please, you know, everybody check that out.
Absolutely. And of course, as John said, it's helping out a lot of different schools and educators and students along the way. You can learn a lot from this. It's a beautiful, beautiful program. And we'll make sure that we link it in the description of this episode. Edwin, with you, if I got this correct, on this tour that you're also going to be plugging your 11th studio album. Congratulations on that. Lucky. So what can people be expecting to hear when it comes to that record? And what was it about this record that meant a lot to you?
I really hadn't planned on making this record. It was sort of a, well, but, you know, because people, for years, people would go, when are you putting out a new album? I go, I'm not. And then there would be like this awkward pause, and it's hilarious because, like, honestly, who really listens to anybody's new records, right? You know, I listen to AC/DC's Back in Black, and I don't care about anything new. And I'm as guilty as anybody. And I know when I go out on tour, I'm like, I'll mess with the crowd sometimes to go, okay, tonight I'm playing all new songs. And they're like, no, because I know what they want. You know, it's the first rule of show business, give the people what they want. So I got talked into it, and I had tons of songs, and it was just one of those things I just hadn't planned on doing, but once I did it, I really enjoyed it. Now I'm halfway through another one to make an even dozen. But we'll play some songs from pretty much all 11 albums. I touch on all of them. It's weird to say that, you know, it sounds like a lot until you just see it on like one sheet of paper.
Understandable.
And also it's way easier to make records now. Like, I mean, you know, back in the 90s when we were making records on tape, like that was a whole situation. Now it's a lot easier.
Amen to that. Yeah, what you're saying about seeing it all on one sheet, seeing your life all on one sheet, everything that you invested in and put everything towards, that must be a very surreal feeling for sure.
Again, I'm still in contact with so many of the people I used to work with at Atlantic, and we're all still friends. And I do a lot of work with Jason Flom and the Innocence Project. And so I still feel really connected and blessed that I got to have those friendships and that they've continued on after the fact.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. Guys, I know that we're coming to an end of this episode. You all have to run, take care of other things today. John, you have other interviews. Edwin, you have squirrels to chase. So we'll make sure that we take care of all that. Guys, is there any last little nugget before we wrap up this episode?
Always a pleasure, Connor. Folks out there, I just say, you know, this is a family show. Bring your kids, bring the grandparents, bring the dogs. We're going to have a lot of fun. Edwin, always a pleasure, my friend. You know, can't wait to see you soon. I'll give Cronin a high five for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're grateful to everybody that's coming out. So thank you.
Absolutely. And of course, we'll have all the tour information in the description of this episode. I'm Connor.
I'm Edwin.
I'm John.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, MHA of Dutchess County, Foman Wash Car Wash, Juniors 2, Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Dayrock, Loxat Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman Kleiman Collins and Safe LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fun Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon.